wrote about the fate of the United States or Europe, seemed to agree that populism was on the rise and that the future of democratic societies depended, in part, on whether it would triumph. In late fall 2015, I was asked to speak about the topic at the annual dinner of the Council on Foreign Relations, as elite an intellectual institution as exists in the United States. The responses ranged from serious concern to alarm to outright fury. When I uttered a bit of empathy for the populist persuasion, Robert Rubin, the former top executive at Goldman Sachs who went on to serve as Secretary of Treasury under Bill Clinton, stood in the back of the room with his arms tightly crossed and a scornful expression on his face. In 2016, two books appeared that took intelligent, erudite, and quite divergent views on the questions. In What is Populism?, the German-born political scientist Jan Werner Müller argued that populism is a dangerous phenomenon. It is, he writes, always a form of identity politics, and tends to pose a danger to democracy, for democracy requires pluralism and the recognition that we need to find fair terms of living together as free, equal, but also irreducibly diverse citizens. In contrast, the progressive journalist John Judas viewed populism as a logic employed by both right and left, rather than a guide to how a candidate who bashes the elite in the name of the people might govern. The people, after all, is among the most potent and fuzziest terms in the political lexicon. In The Populist Explosion, he does insist that all populists, whatever their ideology, make demands that are designed to be difficult, if not impossible, for the established powers to grant. Whenever populists do manage to gain a share of power, Judas maintains, they often lose their dissident edge. Thus, American and Western European populist movements have flourished when they are in opposition, but have sometimes suffered identity crises when they have entered government. Müller and Judas make sensible arguments. Like most Europeans who write about the concept, Müller is painfully conscious of what demagogic appeals to an ethnically exclusive folk have wrought in his nation's and that continent's modern history. But Judas, in delinking the tropes of populism from the ways in which those who articulate them actually govern, better captures the suppleness of the rhetoric and suggests why it has become so common. At times of systemic crisis, citizens almost inevitably look to figures who blame entrenched leaders while assuring the people that they bear little or no responsibility for what has gone wrong. As I detail in my book, this occurred in the United States during the depressions of the 1890s and 1930s, and it happened again after the financial collapse of 2008. In the wake of the Great Recession, it should not have been surprising that the 2016 presidential contest in the United States featured two candidates who illustrated how starkly different a populist can be. Yet both Sanders and Trump railed against the elites and the establishment for causing great harm to ordinary, hardworking Americans. And it was easy for reporters to find individuals who cast a ballot for the self-described socialists in the Democratic primary and then switched to Trump in the general election. For their part, critics often condemned them with the same pejorative. The conservative National Review, for instance, scorned both as demagogues who exploited public alarm and peddled impossible solutions to difficult problems. But since the word has been applied to everyone from Andrew Jackson to Franklin Roosevelt to Joe McCarthy to Barack Obama, it has lost much of its sting. The populist, whose politics you abhor, is always a demagogue disguised as a hero of the masses. Trump and Sanders actually represented two different, often competing, populist traditions that have long thrived in the United States. Pundits often speak of left-wing and right-wing populists. But those labels don't capture the most meaningful distinction between the different languages of mass discontent.